part to come. Yes, I'm free. Oh, in His presence.
Bow our hearts, invite His presence into this place. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. Lord, what a privilege, what an opportunity to be in Your presence here this morning. Lord, where we know that the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed for us, Father, and that there is an atonement. Lord, that we are free this morning. We have been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been liberated. We've been redeemed, Father. Lord, we've been given a voice to sing Your praises, Lord. And to, Lord, a jubilee in our souls, Father. Lord, we ask that You just move by Your Spirit, Father. And have Your way among us, Lord. Speak to hearts. Meet the needs of Your people, Father. Lord, just take us all out of the way, Father, that we can be caught up in heavenly places in Your presence, Father. Lord, we thank You for just anointing the man of God and just speaking to us this morning. We ask it in Jesus Christ's lovely name. Amen.
Amen. Ask Brother Jonathan to stay. If Brother Wendell could come. They're special. Amen. As he comes, let's sing that song, What a Fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. Amen. Why don't you just turn around and shake one another's hand, greet each other. Oh, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm.
Is good to us, isn't he? Amen. Wonderful service last night. And I know God's got something incredibly special this morning. This is an old song. The world may try to satisfy the long your soul, you may search this wide world over, but you would be just as before. You'll never find
satisfaction until you know the Lord. Only Jesus, only He can satisfy.
Hallelujah.
And make you whole.
Test.
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 Oh,
Father, you're a shield. Oh, for me, my glory and the lifter of my head.
When the terror of the enemy,
oh, yes, when it
seems to rise all around me, still
I will not be
Every night, looking back on all of his mistakes, wishing through the tears that he could just go back, 'cause there's a lot of things he'd like to change. He just can't forgive himself and forget, even though God already did. If he can love someone and find the good within, in spite of what they've done, no matter where they've been, if he can let it go, set the dead free. If he can keep forgiving you and me, why can't we?
Seven times I've been so hurt by someone else. Give a second chance. Let all the bitterness take control. Took grace into my own hands. And even Jesus said, whoever's done no wrong,
let him throw the first stone.
If he can love someone and find the good within, in spite of what they've done, no matter where they've been,
if he can let it go and set the debtor free, if he can keep forgiving
someone and find the good within,
in spite of what they've done,
no matter where they've been,
if he can let it go
and set the debtor free, if he can keep forgiving.
Just sing that song, I love him. I love him because he first loved me. Amen. Oh, I love him.
Just like
don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the King. Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't faint, so what's left to do? Truth is, I'm weak, but those strength no tears to cry, even if I try. But still my soul refuses to die. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you this song. Take me to the King. Truth is, no rules, no religion. I made my decision to run to you, the healer that I need. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn to pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne and leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you the song. Take me to the King. Lord, we're in the way. We keep making mistakes, but the glory's not for us, it's all for you. Please take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart
me into your presence. Amen. That's what we want this morning, is the Holy Spirit that would deal with our hearts and lives. I heard Brother Philip, Sister Mandy, Sister Jessica sing a little while ago. There's words there that spoke of to see the good in me. And you wonder, what good did God see in me? There's nothing good in man. There's none good but God. What he saw was that attribute of himself. That seed gene of God, maybe that you didn't even know that was there, but it was always there. Because you were always a son. Amen. And here he is today to wipe away every deed, everything, and make you clean in his presence. Amen. I want us to sing this song as we stand. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. And I want you to invite the Lord. Just come and feel that thirsting of my soul. Today we are once again privileged to have Brother Wayne Lawson with us. He's not able to stay the whole meeting, but I felt led of the Lord to have him to come and just give us a part of his time to be here together with us this week. And you know, he's an evangelist, and we need to pray for our evangelists. They're full time in the ministry. It's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. He said, well, pastors are full-time in ministry. That's true. I understand that. But evangelists traveling from place to place, pulpit to pulpit, there's many special needs that are there. And you know, we should pray especially for our evangelists, that God has raised up gifts in the body to bless and edify the bride of Jesus Christ. You know, there's not a one-man ministry anymore. It's a multi-membered body, and it's a five-fold ministry. There's one Holy Spirit working through in different aspects of His glory as He pours out His gifts upon the earth and ministers through those gifts. Some are teachers, some are pastors, some evangelists, some prophets. And yeah, we do believe that there are prophets, not just a prophet, but prophets. And prophets are New Testament preachers and men who can get and find that channel of inspiration. You know, and so we have prophet evangelists, prophet pastors, we have prophet teachers. You know, we have men that can get into that channel of the Holy Ghost. And today, we're just looking to the Lord to speak. To speak one more time. And you today sitting here in being in these meetings, you're privileged people to have the Holy Spirit that has been released to us today. It's always been here. It never left the church, but it's been released again to us because it was held back by the doors of creeds and dogmas. But it's now been released by the end time message. And it's here today where that you can experience the exact thing that they received on the day of Pentecost and be the original church. You are the original, the Omega bride that perfectly matches the Alpha bride. Amen. And I just say, Lord, if there's anything in me that doesn't match that yet, just change me. Until I match everything you said in your word. Amen. So open your heart today and say, Lord, just speak to us from heaven. Fill my cup, Lord. There's still more room. Amen. I've emptied out something of the world today and there's more room. Come fill that part. And come quench the thirsting of my soul. I may have been satisfying it or trying to satisfy it with all these other things out here. But it'll never do it. There's only one thing that'll really satisfy the human heart, and that's Jesus Christ and Him the same yesterday, today, and forever. So invite Him today. Fill my cup, Lord. Say it, here it is. Make it your prayer. I lift it up, Lord. What now? Come. Just being satisfied.
discouraging of my soul. Oh, there's manna today. Rain of heaven. Just come on and feed me.
Here's my whole. Amen. And that he could bring in the fullness of all. Amen. That we have desire and have need of. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts for a word of prayer this morning. Gracious Lord, we are very thankful this morning to stand in your presence, Lord, and to feel the Spirit of the Lord that is moving in our hearts and upon our needs. And Lord, this lovely congregation that has been gathered this morning, Lord, and the sacredness of this moment and this service, Lord, that you have given us. Lord, as the songs have been sung and the hearts have been opened, oh God, we just ask you now that you would take your word. Lord, may you move man away from the element, Lord, and just pick up your word this morning and deal with your people, Lord, and the heart and the needs that they have. Lord Jesus, we open, Lord, these hearts and lives, and we just ask that you would take us, Lord, through the channels, Lord, the needs, Lord, that have come here in this family camp. Lord, we know there's been many needs that's been already met. Lord, through the saturation of your Spirit, through the preaching of your word. And Lord, I just pray this morning that you would help us, Lord, as we endeavor to say something that would encourage and strengthen. And Lord, may we just take another step, Lord, into your presence. And Lord, we commit this service into your hand, asking you, Father, for these things we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. May God bless you this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, amen. We'd like to turn to the book of 1 Timothy. As you're turning, I'd like to say that it's good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord. And, man, to see everyone that was able to come out. I had got to see Brother Wendell last night come in. It's a real blessing to get to sit down and fellowship with him. And amen. And I was meeting our brother Jeremy for the first time, him and Brother J.R. yesterday. God bless you, brothers. It was a real privilege. And set when Brother Donnie and Brother Ron and Brother Doug. And I'll tell you, the brothers and the fellowship. And we just appreciate you all for your fellowship and the words that's been spoken and the service that's already been. And we just want to, and I'll say this, I want to greet you from the church there in Bluffton, Ohio, of the True Word Tabernacle. Brother Ray says, make sure you greet those people for me. And I get to busy preaching, and I come up here, and I'll turn to the scripture, and then about an hour later, I'll think, now, what was I supposed to say? And so we just want to give you the greetings from Brother Ray and the church there. And if you have your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's turn in the same book to the 6th chapter. And the 15th. The 16th verses, which in times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. The next chapter over here, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We ask the Lord to bless His word this morning, as you may be seated. Man, if I would title the message this morning, I would like to take a title of immortality to light. And I'm just thinking here this morning of just some things that has been upon my heart and things that we've been studying. And I want to maybe just say that it's such a privilege to be able to speak upon subjects after a prophet has. Many times you start trying to think about approaching something, and you approach it from the realms of theologies or doctrines, and many times it's kind of a very scary thought trying to think that I would have to say something on that subject or try to approach or make an answer for it. But being that we've had a prophet among us, then we have found that there has been a great opening in the channels of the Word and the things that can be spoken on the Word. And I was just thinking this morning upon immortality. Of course, it is something that is the heart and centerpiece of Christianity. Immortality meaning that there is a life without end, that there is something that doesn't cease. And I was just thinking of how that immortality has been something that has been thought of ever since Adam has left the garden. Immortality is something that is as old as the fall of mankind, and it's the one of the oldest teachings of the Bible. It's one of the oldest conversations of man. Is immortality. It's in every realm of life, whether people are religious or whether they're just living in a normal world, looking at things from a mind of man. They see things, they wonder about them, but there is so much darkness concerning them. I was just thinking here as I was listening to the prophet. He said a man was talking to the King of England, and he said he was talking to him about the Lord. And he said as he was talking, he come down towards the end of his witnessing to the king, and he said a sparrow come in and gave him a little lesson there. He said they was standing next to a hearth and a fire, and he said the windows was open. He said it was dark outside, and it was dark both coming and going. He said as they come to the end of the witness, a sparrow flew in the room. And he said as the sparrow flew by, he said the man watched the sparrow. He said he saw him come and saw him go. He said, but where did he come from and where is he going to? And he said, that's why man is digging up bones today. He said, they're trying to find out where we come from and where we're going to. But there's only one book in the world that can answer that question of where have we come from and where are we going to. I think of how that the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. The prophet said it was even written before the book of Genesis, and how that when Job, a man in the scriptures we find was a very wise man. And the prophet said he was the most wise of all. He said, but Job lacked knowledge concerning this subject. He said this was something that Job himself had a great question of. He said we find it explained in Job 14 when Job looked upon the earth and he saw the witnesses of life. He saw the trees, he saw the flowers, he saw the expressions that their life had come from somewhere. He said, I see life. He said, I see it going to the ground. He said, I watch how that a tree would go into the ground. He said, the life would go into the root. He said, but then let just the scent of water, he said, it comes forth and bud again. And he was showing how that there was something written in the nature. And how many times did you hear Brother Branham say that there is a Bible written in the nature? And how that Job, without a Bible to read, he could read the signs that was laying in nature. And he could look at the life. And Brother Branham said he would stand out there and he would see the life on the top of the tree. And he'd see the greenness and he would see it in its glory. And he said, but then in the fall of the year, he'd watch how that the life would begin to leave. And the leaves would begin to turn colors. And as they would begin to turn colors, he said, which was a sign, he said, that life was leaving the leaf. He said, and you see that in the death of anything is where it shows its greatest colors. He said, it's right in the death of a Christian is when the greatest colors begin to shine. Amen. You only think you love being a Christian, but in that moment, amen, when you're passing into that darkness, amen, it's in that moment that the color of Christianity really begins to shine. And you know, Brother Branham said it is even that as the life would leave the leaf, he said that life goes down the tree. He said, and you see, even before the leaf can fall off of the tree, that life has already went down in the root. He said, and that root reaches out far beneath that leaf, so that when the leaf falls from the tree, that life is already there to catch it. And as the leaf would melt into the ground and it would rot, that same life that had been in the top of the tree is waiting on it, and it will carry it up again. He said, oh, how Job looked at those things and he saw the flowers of it. But in his heart, he said, what happens to a man? He could see them go in the ground, but he could never see them rise again. He's seen this happen throughout the times. And the prophet said, Job being a prophet, he said he began to watch these things come. And he said, now, amen, he said, being a prophet, he said, after a while, he said, God let him look upon these things. He said he let accusers come to Job and the trials of his life and begin to tell him why he was going through what he was going through. He said, but then God let a man named Elihu come to him. He said, if you had time, he said, sometime break down the name Elihu. He said, it means the mighty one, a perfect type of Christ. He said, and he came to Job and he began to reveal to him why it was. He said, and he began to tell Job that there was one that could stand between the breach of the living and the dead and bring them back together again. Oh, how that must have made Job so hungry to see the revelation laying there. Amen. The prophet of God said that stirred up Job so much that he said, where does God live? He said, if I could find a man like this, I'd go sit out on his doorstep until I could get a hold of him. Amen. I'll tell you, friends, when you hear of the powers of God and the realities of the age that we are living in, I'll tell you, it doesn't make you a proud person or some stiff-necked person just to come and sit in a church. Amen. But when I hear about the power and the glory of the God and the high King that I serve, it makes me want to go to a place to lay aside all unbeliefs and all understandings of man and say, God, where is that place that I can get to? Amen. That I can get in the presence of one. Amen. That can reach into the mortal man and the immortal God and drag the two together. I'll tell you, friends, when we think of that Elihu bringing a message like that, Brother Branham said, you see the strong and the mighty one. What a type of Christ he was. Amen. And where did he come but to the prophet? Amen. And he came there. And Brother Branham said, being a prophet, as Job was there, he said, God let him suffer it out long enough. He said, but finally, by a revelation, he revealed the secret to Job that the woman had corrupted the seed. He said, that's why man went down and couldn't come again. The seed was corrupted. Isn't it amazing that God showed the revelation behind what was wrong? And immediately, Brother Bam said, that's why Job, sitting there on that ash heap, rose up from it. And he began to say, I know my Redeemer lives. He said, and though the skin worms would eat this body in my flesh, I shall see God who shall stand in the last days. The prophet of God said, do you notice he knew his Redeemer was God? Amen. And God is his word. And it takes a prophet to speak the word. And there Job was, knowing corrupt word had put him in the place he was in. And unless there come another speaking of the word, unless there comes somebody that could put out an incorrupt word, he would forever be locked in the place he was. But him being a prophet, God inspired Job, and Job became the vessel that would speak a perfect word in the universe and prophesy. There is coming one who will be upon the earth, and he'll raise up and he'll make something come together again. The prophet of God said, by inspiration, Job spoke it. He sowed the seed of perfection. He said, but it would take 4,000 years for that seed to find the womb of a woman. He said, but when it fell into that woman's seed, he said, it became mature and a redeemer, and there was nothing left of Job but a little ashes, a little teaspoon. Brother Bam said after 4,000 years, there might have been a teaspoon of Job left.
He was laying there throughout all of them ages. That's why Jesus said, did you read of the patience of Job? He spoke that word 4,000 years before, but he laid there patiently waiting on the promise to be fulfilled. And when the promise was fulfilled, the Bible says in Matthew 27 that they that were slept in the dust arose with him. And there Job was, from a little spoonful of dirt back to a body again, because he knew the one that could bring it together had come back upon the scene. Oh, when Job prophesied, look at his prophecy. Amen. If any would stand in that place. I was just reading this morning. The prophet of God said, oh, he said, do you see Abraham bought a tomb in that place? He said, that's why he paid for that tomb. He bought that tomb to bury Sarah in that place. He said, that's where Isaac was buried. He said, do you see, that's when Abraham said, I'll go be with them. Abraham knew about that place. He said, do you see, that's when Jacob died, all the way down in Israel. He made his son, him being a prophet as well. He said, you put your hand on the place where the angel of God touched me and changed the way I walk. And you promise me you will not bury me down here in Egypt, but you'll carry my bones back to Palestine. He said, because he had a revelation that Job saw him standing there. He wanted to be the place where he was going to stand up. Oh, to think today, amen, that we are in the place that we have saw by the scripture that Christ would arise in a bride, a Gentile, in the last days by a perfect word. I'll tell you, I don't want to be buried anywhere else. I want to be buried in Christ. To think that this is where Jacob buried. Amen. Can you imagine them pulling those bones all along? Amen. Going to the promised land. Amen. Can you imagine trying to fulfill that promise? It must have been a bad day up there when they was getting ready to go over in that land, and those tribes, amen, sent spies over, and they saw the promises, and everybody come back with their reports. Amen. Isn't it amazing when them 10 spies begin to report that that land is not something that we can have? It's not something that we could take. They went over the Jordan and come back and said, we're not able to do it. Amen. But I can imagine when Joshua and Caleb began to steal the people. Amen. It must have been, I've often thought, amen, I don't know exactly what it was. Maybe a lead coffin over there somewhere. They've been dragging up all this time. But I can imagine when Joshua jumped up on the bones of Jacob and stood there and said, I'm standing on the bones of a prophet of God that said, we're more than able to take this land. And he made us promise we would take his bones there. I think this morning of how that the saints of God are standing on the promises of the word today. We're not standing here by ourselves saying that these promises are able, that we can take this land, that we're going into a rapture, things are going to change. We're not here by ourselves this morning. It doesn't matter what the gainsayers have said, what the false accusers have said. There's a people this morning standing on the words of a prophet of God. We're going over. We're going into that land, and nothing can stop us. Devils cannot stop us. Unbelief cannot stop us. World cannot stop us. Oh, young people, I want you to take courage this morning. There are sons and daughters of God upon the earth today that are going in the land. There is nothing going to stop us. We did not come here to be defeated. We did not come here, amen, to turn around and go home. We have come too far. We have crossed over too many valleys, up the side of too many hills, and come into this land. We have come to stay. When I think of how that Jacob, amen, how he encouraged them even from the grave. Oh, long after he was gone, his promises were still speaking. To think, amen, that even from the grave, these men, their words immortal, their lives impressing on the lives of others, but every one of them going into the grave, knowing there was something coming, knowing something was going to happen, every one of them believing a perfect word was coming, but going down in the darkness of death, going down in a place that they did not understand, that they only had visions and catch a little revelation here, catch a little revelation there, and the best they could do was probe into the darkness, but it was not enough to roll away all the sadness. It was not enough to roll away all the things that were concerned around the death of man. But to think of how that every man testifying, every man saying it was going to be. But then I read in the scripture, amen, that how that there was a promised one that was coming. And how when Jesus Christ came to the earth, amen, that he did not come of a corrupt seed. But this one come as Job had prophesied, as Isaiah had prophesied, as Abraham had prophesied. He was the coming of a perfect word. It was the fullness of the perfection of Almighty God channeling down into one seed. Can you imagine that God could wrap himself up and hide himself in his word and be so small and so simple as to be that which was placed into the womb of the spirit of a woman and turn into a material happening by the hearing of the word of God? Don't you dismiss the preaching of a gospel as just some words being spoken or just some ideas of a man, but that which is the word of God spoken from human lips and a messenger of God received into the womb of the soul with faith believing can change everything. It can move you into the presence of God. To think of how this one woman could believe and change the events of history. She changed the calendars that we read this morning. Every date, letter dated, every prophecy, everything that ever has a date on it, from that day forward was changed according to the belief of Mary. Whew. Brother, amen. She wasn't by herself. God was behind what she was believing. And to think that when that perfect word came in there, that it formed. Amen. You know God must have thought much of it. Because just as in the beginning when he created male and female, he changed his name from Elohim to Jehovah. Now Jehovah creating again, changing his name from Jehovah to Jesus. What a wonderful change. Knowing that the word believed changed the very times and seasons that they were living. This one that come a perfect word came spouting and professing great things. He began to say, though I am dead, he said, I will live again. He told us, I have the power to lay down my life and raise it up again. He said, you can destroy this temple. 3 days, I will raise it up again. They said, please don't do this. He said, get behind me. This is the reason that I came to this earth. Amen. To prove these things to be the truth. Every prophet had talked about it, but here was one that was not just going to talk it. He was not just going to say that it could be done. Here was coming one that had the power to prove what he was talking about. I think of how that when Jesus, a man, came and he began to make these words and say these things, how disciples began to follow after him. Can you imagine as he began to gather his disciples around them and they would walk down through the streets of Jerusalem and these kinds of words would be heard. I'm wondering once in a while, Brother Wendell, if they didn't think, I wish the crowd couldn't hear the pastor preach this morning. As he walks by that great temple, took him 40 years to build, tear it down, 3 days, I'll rise it up again. Hey man, can you imagine in John 6, eat my flesh, drink my blood, or you have no part with me. Hey man, how them boys probably sometimes thought, man, I wish Jesus wouldn't say things like that. Hey man, but him being the word, nothing he said he could not prove. Amen. And as he spoke those things, their hopes got greater. Their expectations rose higher. After a little while, Philip only seeing just a little reflection of the Messiah sign. He said, thou art the King of Israel. He said, because you have saw this thing, thou sayest, I'm the King of Israel. This is a small thing. Thou shalt see angels descending up and down from heaven unto the earth. Look at what a season that it was. It was a season of a dimensional opening where angels began to walk among people. It was a time when shepherds out in the fields began to see the angels of God moving in and out of those realms. It was a time like never had been before. Amen. The Word had come to the earth. And was now living there, walking with them in human bodies. To think of how that when he began to make these professions, it wasn't long until the religious sect could not put up with that kind of talk. They could not allow someone to talk like this and leave it unanswered, because his followings was getting greater and the people were getting a greater expectation of him. And finally, they either had to either kill him, amen, or do something with him, because he was not stopping. So they made the decision: we'll stop this and we'll do it like we have done everything else. We'll kill him and stop his word. Now, they already had that in their mind. The prophet of God said from the very uttering of the word, amen, that the woman would have a seed, the devil went after that seed. He said, that's why Cain killed Abel. Amen. That's why the Bible said when Joseph met his brethren in the field and they slew him, they was not slaying Joseph. They were trying to kill that promised seed. It was a devil in them trying to kill that seed before it could come to maturity. And that same devil was chasing after Christ. Amen. Thinking that he would end everything. Thinking that he would end the promise and end the chances. But when he destroyed Christ, he for a few days, it seems that he had done what he was trying to do. Amen. Even the disciples, I've often thought about the poor guys. Amen. Under the darkness of the times, when Jesus died, the Bible tells us that they got pretty upset, because watch Peter. Amen. He's not yet converted. He goes out there and he denies the Lord three times. Amen. Peter's really in a bad shape. Amen. I know a man's in a bad shape when he strips off his clothes and goes fishing. Amen. He's in a bad shape. He's out here in the boat. Amen. He's already give up on the idea that he was the Messiah. Watch how the thing nearly seems to fall apart. His disciples are under a cloud of darkness. They're under the idea that death is the end of this. But look what we find. The prophecies was laying there that it would be through death that the destruction of death would take place. And how that Christ was only fulfilling the word from the beginning all the way to the end. He was coming to prove that the power of death only had power unto death. But after that, God could raise up and destroy death by death and rise above it. To think that there was one finally who was fulfilling all that word. The prophet of God said on that Easter morning, can we have an Easter service here for a moment? On that Easter morning, he said, look at how they went out to the tomb to bring spices and lay upon his body. Amen. There, that's what they were looking at. He said, but when they got there, he said, the stone had been rolled away. He said somebody had broke open the seal. The seal had been broken, and Christ revealed, I'm no longer in there, but I am alive forevermore. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Oh, think of it, friends. It took an opening of the seal to show us he wasn't no longer in the denominational ages, but he had moved into the fulfillment of the words of his promise. To think of how that here he is coming out, and as his light begins to shine, Brother Man said it was the greatest morning, amen, for the mortal race. It was the greatest morning for all of Adam's race, knowing that from this morning that there had been one passed into death and had rose again. He said it was the greatest rising of the sun. He said just as that first sun rose all the way back there in creation, when there was a darkness upon the earth. And you remember the story, and I'll not go long into it. But Brother Branham says darkness covered the earth. He said it was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the waters. You can look at that condition of the earth, and you can realize the chaos of darkness and the condition of what it was, in that nature never could change that condition. Darkness never comes to light. Corruption never goes to incorruption. It's a law that has been set in nature. And nature would have never ever produced anything beyond the darkness that was upon it. Amen. But God stood there upon the borders of darkness and looked down upon it and had mercy upon it. And he said, let there be light. And light rose for the first time. And his light rose upon the earth and shined its rays of hope and light into the earth. Light began to go right upon the oceans and upon the waters. And as light spread across the waters, deep beneath that water was seeds of a civilization that had been in the mind of God that was now coming out into existence. I don't know how long those seeds were there. I don't know what civilizations were before. Amen. But you must think of how that God spoke to that darkness and said, let there be light. Now we know that that water represented in the Bible people. And the people laying in darkness. But beneath that dark waters was a seed laying there that was only waiting for a coming light. How that God would shine the light in the beginning to set the pattern of the laws of God. From this day on, no life can come without the light would shine upon it. And that botany life needed it. It didn't matter if it was a palm tree, an oak tree. It didn't matter what part of the life it was. It needed that sun to come, and the sun brought life to it. And to think, amen, that here we are this morning, not botany life, but eternal life. And it must have light. And that light was in the presence of God. And that light was coming to the earth. Laying there in that tomb, darkness had covered the earth. You hear Brother Branham explain the darkness, how that it had covered over the whole earth. He said, because he had made these sayings, and now he was dead. He had done these things, but now it looked like he could never rise again. He said, but watch when he comes out that Easter morning. He said, a dual rising of the sun. And just as the first sun rose for every seed upon the earth, he said, so did that sun rise for every seed of God upon the earth. That resurrection was not just for the Gentile or the Jewish people, but it was for every person that would ever come to eternal life would live by that resurrection. Amen. This morning, we are not living by our own life, by our own abilities, but because he rose up from the dead, we are alive forevermore. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. What's he talking about? He's talking about light that was coming, that he had said I could rise up, and here he was doing it. You don't think they didn't try to stop that light? You don't think devils didn't try to put a hold on that light? Amen. They shut up every gate in hell. They shut up. They thought the prophecy is coming. The prophecy is coming. We're going to stop the prophecy. Oh, what a trouble when you try to stop a prophecy. I was just over in Israel not too long ago. There's a prophecy that the Messiah will come in the eastern gate. You know, they believe the eastern gate, the Muslims being carnal. They went over there and built a cemetery at the eastern gate of the Temple Mount. Amen. Because they know that a sacred holy man cannot walk through that garden, through that cemetery. And they said when Elijah returns to the temple, he's got to come through that gate. So they put a graveyard there to keep Elijah out of their temples. Can you imagine? Amen. But I don't care how many graveyards they build, they will not stop Elijah from coming to Israel. And it didn't matter how many devils fortified the tombs, fortified hell, and said we'll keep it from happening. Amen. There'll never be a driverless car. L.A. will never sink. It'll never happen. Amen. But the prophecy has always went out. God has already spoke his word, and that word will be fulfilled. To think when Jesus rose up, what he was doing was vindicating the word that had been spoken. Amen. Through that vindicated light, look what he done. He went out and met two boys. Amen. Walking on the road to Emmaus. And my, were they in darkness. Their minds were so messed up that Jesus came out and stepped beside them and began to walk with them. Now Luke, the 24th chapter, is an event. Amen. That's a prophecy that could only be made clear in this day. The prophet of God said, modern event made clear by the prophecy. It could only be really clear what was going on then when you come to now. Amen. Because they was doing that for a prophecy of our generation. And look how they're walking in the darkness and groping in their own minds. And their own ideas, and how many different ways did they interpret this happening? How many different ways did they have this going on when one stepped out with them and began to walk on the road with them? Now they didn't know who it was walking with them, but he took about a 6-hour sermon. And as he had a 6-hour sermon on prophecy, and he began to prophesy and tell them, I think of the beauty of how the scripture says that he took the scripture concerning himself. Amen. Do you see? That's why a prophet said, this is my message of Him. Now, this great falling away that we're seeing is not from just religion. Religion's everywhere. But they're falling away from the message of Him. That's what He was preaching to the two on the road to Emmaus. And watch where their hearts was when He began to talk with them. Amen. They were downtrodden. They were underneath it. We thought this was going to be. We thought it was going to happen. And now darkness has come and death has come. And this has happened and this has happened. And they're trying to catch Jesus up on all the rumors. And rather than rebuking them in a great way, He just said, oh, you're slow to believe prophecy. And then He began to take the prophecies of the Old Testament and began to take of Himself through the Word, and He began to bring it all down throughout six ages. And watch now, the prophet said He's never proved His resurrection yet. He's only telling what the Scripture says about it. He said, but late in the evening time, that they come down to a place, and they said, the day is far spent, and they turned into a little room, and there they asked Him to come in with them. Amen. There they invited Him in. Come and sup with us, Lord. And when they stepped into that room, He done something like He had done before. And when He done that which He had done before, He proved to them it's the same Jesus that had been here. He's here again. What a beautiful reality that death could not hold Him. And we find that it was in that place that light came to them, and they recognized that He is alive and He is among us. How that they began to see that the Immortal One had spoke to them. And from there they began to carry the good news. The prophet of God said the good news is, amen, that He is up. The good news is He is alive. Amen. There's been a lot of news, but this is the best news you ever heard. He's still alive. Amen. When I think of how that the prophet teaches us, there's actually three risings of that sun. That was that first beginning. There was a rising of the sun. There in the middle of the Bible is a rising of the sun. But Malachi chapter 4 prophesies of another rising of the sun. He said, for the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in His wings. And we know that that is the time when the resurrection is coming into the past. That's the time, amen, when the resurrection has come to the church. You recognize the prophet of God said people don't believe in divine healing. He said, how in the world then could you believe in resurrection? He said, because divine healing is only a down payment of your resurrection. Can you imagine this? Amen. That in the time of the resurrection, when the resurrection is to come, it's in that hour that God sends the greatest healing campaign that has ever struck the face of the earth. We are seeing in this generation God preparing the people to see that this is not just another time. This is not just another age. But God is going to have a resurrection of our mortal bodies and take us to another dimension. You see, we find out here that throughout the ages, man has again covered the Word, what God made so light. They took the traditions of man and they again covered over that light. Look at how they brought all the ideas of man and the understandings of man. Many times I know men were trying to do their best in the teaching down through the ages. Amen. But you know, instead of solving something, instead of putting light on it, it seems that they actually block it from their people. Many times someone not understanding something in the Scripture, and they approach it actually, instead of giving light to that, they actually block the people from ever getting the truth upon that. Because the words become a veil or tradition upon the subject, then it can never really fall into the heart what it really actually is. Now to think of how that a prophet is showing that in the end time, God has promised to roll back all the darkness. He's promised to roll back all the ideas and all the clouds of man that we might stand into that light again. I think of how that the Brother Branham tells us, see, when this life in the root and the leaf and how that it goes and comes again. He said, do you see what these things are? It's seasons. And he teaches, Brother Branham teaches much upon seasons. I've just been studying through the messages upon the laws of gravity, laws of seasons, laws of increase. And as I'm looking at these laws, I'm finding Brother Branham uses the story over and over and over and over and over upon an apple tree and an infidel, and how he tells the story of the intelligence in an apple tree. And how he uses that intelligence to prove to man that there is an intelligence behind the scene that is guiding everything. He said, now the difference between that tree and a human is that tree has no choice whether to let that intelligence run through him or not. He said, but man has been given a free moral agent, and they can either allow that intelligence or they can stop that intelligence from coming through their life. Amen. I tell you this morning, I don't know about you, but I want to open up my heart. And I say, Lord, bring the intelligence that is in that tree into my life. And I'll not stop this resurrection, Lord. But I will open the channels to it, Lord. I'll open until you're able to break forth in every promise upon my life. You see, it's in the changing of the seasons that you see the changing in things. I think of Brother Branham talking about the changing of mortal and immortal seasons. And how that it's in the time of change. I was actually up in a meeting one time, a youth camp up in Edmonton, Alberta. They have it up in the winter time there. And we were coming the first time, I think I'd done their first camp for them. And we'd come down toward the end of the services. And you ministers know how you feel. You've come to a certain place in the meeting, but you're going to be finishing it. You're not going to have a Brother Donnie or Brother Ron or somebody or Brother Doug follow after you and fix the mistakes and close the meeting nice. And so you're praying for a closure. You're praying, how am I going to handle this, you know? And so I was standing out there, and Brother Terry, I was just standing on the lake, and as I was standing there, it was just cold, and it had froze over and ice laying there. The snow was probably that deep out there on the lake, and people were having teepees, and I don't know what they call them up there, maybe tents or something, but they had tents, and they had little snowmobiles, and they had fires, and trucks was parked out there on that ice. And I sat there, my being from the south, I looked at all that and I thought, my goodness, how in the world? Because I knew that was a lake out there. And they had vehicles on that lake. And I just was sitting there and I was praying, Lord, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to help me, Lord. And I'm sitting there looking at all this. And after a little while, as I'm looking at that water, I can see the sun just poking over the top of the trees. And just something moved in my heart and said, now notice this water right here. And I looked down and it's all ice. Amen. And it's just like something asked me, said, what can help it? And I looked up and I said, well, the only thing I know is the sunshine. But that sun in that season didn't have the heat to melt that water. Amen. But if you would only wait a few days, the same sun was going to shine again in a different light. And then that water wouldn't be that way no more. And I thought, oh my. Amen. How that water at some time in its life, just a breeze would move that. But now, with the hiding of the sun, there is such an iciness on it that you can park a truck on that thing. I thought, dear God, what we need is a season of a mature sun that would melt the lives and melt the hearts again, Lord. Used to, a man could preach on the cross and the altars would just fill up. Used to, somebody could say the name Jesus and tears would come to the eyes of the people. Amen. But in this Laodicean wicked age, their hearts have become so hardened by the things of the world that the gospel don't even move them. If you want to get a move, you've got to get a bride church together. People said some time ago, do you have a lot of open meetings? I said, well, we have a lot of meetings, and sometimes the public comes in. Amen. But where the revival is at today, it's not out here in Laodicea. You can't, this word means nothing to them. But you bring this word into the realms of the bride of Christ, and they've been sitting under a mature sun. Amen. And the iciness has left their lives. And they're there with the moving of the Holy Ghost. And when the wind begins to blow, they're not resistant. They feel the power of Christ moving. And they say, Lord, don't let me out, Lord. Don't hold me out of this. Blow across my life, Lord. Bring me a revival. Move the trash out of it, oh God. I'll tell you, friends. Amen. I find that the changing of seasons changes everything. Amen. Amen. The changing of season changes everything. I thought of how that the prophet of God is teaching us, amen, that when it comes to the three sons' names, he said he reveals himself in three sons' names. Y'all know when Jesus came to the earth, he was the son of David. He was the son of God, and he was the son of man. Right? But he wouldn't take the office of the son of David, but he proved he was the son of David. Amen. And he told he was the loins of David, but he wouldn't take the office of the son of David, because that office was kingship. And he couldn't be king of an earth he hadn't bought with his own blood. But because he wanted to buy the blood, he wanted to pay the price, he had to come as the son of man. And as a son of man, he would change the season from the son of David, or from that time of the Old Testament, and he would change the season to the son of God. And throughout seven ages, he would remain there. But he said, in the last of those ages, he said, I will reveal myself again. I will come again. Luke 17:30. Are you with me now? Job sat on that ash heap, and he was waiting. I need something. I need something. Something needs to happen. All of the ages have died, and they've not rose again. We need something. But you see, what we needed was a prophet of God that could catch the secret of what was wrong. And when he caught the secret, then he would stand up and prophesy. And that prophecy would fall in a season that was not like other seasons. It wouldn't be 4,000 years from the sowing to the reaping. But in the same season that he would sow it, would be the same season he would reap it. And he said, the word has been preached. Denomination has had the seed sown. Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. He said, but there has been another seed sown. Woo! Glory to God. It was a perfect seed. And that seed was sown. The prophet of God said, you see, perfection come upon the earth in Jesus Christ. He said, but now five stars have brought themselves together to announce the approach of an infant church, a bride for perfection. Oh, to think, amen, that that season had to be changed by a prophet. That Son of Man had to come and turn the season. And as he turned the corner, amen, come on, the prophet of God said, amen, we're building a house. He said, we have now turned the corner. He said, we are looking heavenly. Come on, friend, we are not building the same wall they were building. Amen, we have turned the corner, and we are now looking heavenly. Amen, isn't it amazing? John standing in the book of Revelations. He's standing in the Laodicean age. He's looking at all the trials. He's looking at the darkness. He's looking at all the problems. And he's saying, where can we go? What can we do? Life never goes backwards. He cannot go back into the ages. He's at the end of things. And about that time, he hears a voice. Come up hither, John. And a door was opened up in the heavens. Now, because of false teachers, I have to make something real plain here. I know there's a natural rapture. I know Revelation 4 speaks of us in heaven. But here is a simple or a principle of the Word of God. That before it ever happens natural, it has to happen spiritual. Noah, amen, saw the rain 120 years before it ever rained. Therefore, he prepared for a paradox. Glory to God. Oh, think about it. But by the time the rest of them saw it, it was too late for them to get in. And we have saw in the supernatural realms, the word of an immortal season has dropped down into the church. And we have saw it with our eyes. He said, I have heard it by the hearing of the ear, but I have saw it with my eyes. The things which he speaks shall come to pass. He didn't miss it. I was just reading the other day, and the prophet of God comes along a story of a little girl that's between two opinions. I don't have time to preach on opinions. Amen, but there's a lot of them. This little girl gets between two twin girls. One's a real Christian girl, the other's from a Christian home. And she sees this other girl, and she sees these girls getting worldly, and they're cutting on their hair, and the dresses reflect not a Christian nature at all, and things are coming in their lives. And one of the little girls got to watching the other girls, and she got a question in her heart. Is this right? Is this wrong? Is this right? The pastor teaches this, but this other people's doing this. Is it right? Is it wrong? Prophet of God said, after a little while, he said, it put her in an insane institution. He said, it put her in an insane, and she was there. He said, she had stayed there for almost 2 years. He said, finally, her parents got me in there. Brother Bram had to go in just as a visitor because they wouldn't let him in as a preacher. And he said, so he goes in there, and he sits down and begins to talk to the little girl. And said, as he begins to commune with her, he said, in a little bit, I catch it. He said, I see what's wrong with her. He said, so I started talking with her. He said, and as I started talking with her, he said, I heard myself say, thus saith the Lord, she'll be completely healed. He said, I thought, why did I just say that? He said, but it wasn't me saying it. He said, the mother was sitting there next to me. He said, she jumped up and slapped me on the knee and turned to her daughter and said, he's never wrong.
Amen. And they begin to rejoice. Oh, I tell you, slap somebody next to you on the knee and say, he's never wrong. He's never wrong. Amen. And what happened? In 3 days, that girl come out of that institution. And here we have been in the institution of darkness and creeds and dogmas of man. We had no hopes. But I heard a prophet say, there's going to be a bride. She's going to rapture. She's coming out of there. He's never wrong. I feel the power of it flowing in my body. He's never wrong. One of these mornings they're going to look for me, and I ain't going to be there. No, sir. I feel the pull of another realm, and nothing is going to stop it. Mr. Brother, I know who your parents are. Hey, man, that's all right. I'll take them with me. There ain't no stopping this. He's never wrong. You see the season that we have come to. Job, being a prophet, he couldn't speak it till he saw it. No matter how much... Oh, I ain't going there. No matter how bad the ash heap was, it didn't matter what was upon him. He could not speak himself out of it. But when he got the inspiration, he knew this is not a corrupt seed. And when he spoke of the Savior, he knew someday it would take place. And to find in this generation that when a prophet of God began to speak about these things, he could not by himself say these things. But because he had been over there in another realm, he had saw the vision. He had seen it in the Word. He had been ministered by an angel. He had seen the very land himself. When he comes back and tells, he knows exactly what he's talking about. You see, Melchizedek has returned. He was the one that come down to Abraham and told him about his past, his present, and his future. That was the same one that took immortality and made it light in the days of Jesus Christ. But after Jesus comes, we hear nothing else about Melchizedek, only that he is the son of David and the son of Abraham. The only two men in the Bible that witness of Melchizedek, he is reckoned to be their seed. No wonder the Bible said David, being a prophet, prophesied of his fruit of his loins would raise up and sit upon the throne. That he would by oath be a prophet or a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Do you see that same order has come to the church in the last days? Do you find that this is not just a man we're following here? I think so many times how people say, well, you're just following a man. You're just following a man. I thought, isn't it amazing that we're actually the only group on the earth that's not following a man? I'll tell you, the devil is so good twisting the minds of people. You finally get somebody that won't follow their own mind and they say, you follow a man. People actually pick out some of these things for ridicule, and I use them for glory trophies. That a prophet of God in 1963 works out the first seal. He said, I was going to come out here and say what the theologian said, the white horse was Christ. He said, but I met that angel between here and there. He told me, you're as wrong as east is from the west. It's not Christ, it's the Antichrist. And he comes to the pulpit to tell that. You tell me what theologian tells on their self. They won't admit they're wrong nowhere, but a prophet was trying to show you, this is not my idea of it. I was going to bring my idea. But it's got to be a perfect word that comes to this church. Paul had the mystery of it written. He said, I'll show you a mystery. We'll not all sleep, but we shall be changed. He saw the mystery of it. It was the same mystery Job saw. But being a prophet, he knew he could not write it out. That's why Job said, when I seen the mighty angel descending, he had a book in his hand, and he was saying something that I can't write to you. But he did write it. But it had to be another speaking of the word. It had to be a spoken word for the original seed, that the bride might marry that Christ. To think of how we see the seed
amen, coming forth in this generation. Then therefore, how long did it take for them to realize what they had done in the garden? How long after Eve took of the wrong seed did it take for it to come out in her flesh? How long did it take for her really to realize the impact of what she had done? I'd say it wasn't until she was drawing her death blows. When she was drawing her last breath, I think then it really impacted upon her the weight of receiving that seed. I don't know how long she lived. I don't remember even seeing how long she lived, but I know she's at probably 800 or 900 years old according to scriptures. Amen. Many of them were. And we find that, amen, that no longer how long it took for them to realize. And I wonder, amen, that how that our immortal one has come into this generation and how he has stood out beyond the unseen realm and has hid himself from the eyes of man. But he sent in his word by the way of a prophet. And that word began to drop into your hearts and into your minds. I don't know how long. I don't know if it be 10 years. I don't know if it's 20 years. I don't know what it will be before the effect of that word completely takes over our bodies. Amen. But I recognize that some morning we will realize the full effect of that which we have heard. Amen. To think this morning. Amen. You know, and I'll say it like this. Amen. Some time ago I was studying the book of life, Lamb's book of life, and I found out in nature they have what they call the book of life. Scientists has put together a book of genome. And in that book of genome, they got all the records of manipulated genes and fallen genes. So in other words, not too long ago, big stars with a lot of money's doing this. Angelina Jolie, I think, had a complete removal of her breast and replacement because the scientists looked at her gene and they said, now, when you turn about so old here in the next 10 years or so, this manipulated gene's going to turn into cancer and you've got pre-cells of it already. So if you don't get rid of it, you're going to have cancer. So she supernaggregated her own genes and replaced them before it could even happen to her. Amen. You see, what man has done is so tracked down natural genes that they can tell you it's going to, not sure when, but it's going to take place in your natural body because it's written in the records of your life. Amen. But to think that God has another record. Amen. And in that record of life is called the Lamb's Book of Life. And in there is a little gene, a chromosome. Amen. And in that gene is written that they have the ability to change their mortal body to an immortal body in the moment of the twinkle of an eye. I don't know if it'll be in 10 years this happens. I don't know when it will be. But some morning between 6 and 9, there's going to be a voice activation of that gene laying there. And it's going to take over your body. And immortal life is going to become more real than the life you're living right now. There's a reality in this message. He's never wrong, church. This bride is rising up by the power of another spoken word. Why do you think the Bible said prophesy again? It's another spoken word. Do you see, we find out that this pale horse brings death with him and nobody has problems with that. And after death, hell follows with him. And you can open the doors and go to Walmart and study demonology. It's there everywhere. What brought it in? Hey man, the pale horse. That's what brought it in. Somebody said, well, the pale horse fully ride, you know better than that. Hey man, there's a pause in that. But we find out that until the bride goes, he cannot have full kingship. Scripture. We find out this, that he brings us in. And as he comes in, what's he doing? He's bringing death with him. He's bringing hell with him. And as they're coming and bringing this, but the prophet of God said, watch how the scriptures, with every enemy's attack, God would raise a standard against that enemy. And here comes a flying eagle, which is a prophet of God, having foreseen the future. He will prophesy and name death before death ever takes its effect. Catches two girls in a hotel room. They're drunk and got their husbands at home watching their children, living immoral lives. And they're standing there saying, whoopee, this is life. A prophet of God catches them and said, no, that's not life, that's death. What's that prophet named death? But the same one that names death turns around and he names life. And he brings life by the word of God. Amen. If we ever see the power of a perfect word spoken, it'll take us to the place that a preacher would never say something that the prophet of God hasn't already taught us. If we ever see the perfect of a power of a perfect spoken word, that's why, amen, when somebody says the days of miracles are past, amen, you see the seed that is placing, you can't get the Holy Ghost like you used to. You see the seed that is placing, amen, that's the secret Job saw, that unless that is preached with power in perfection, then there comes corruption in the hearers of that. Brother Man said, you see, that's why they're holding these seeds in them now, but when the Spirit comes, they will prove what they're holding on to. And here we are today in the last generations of mankind, and the anointing and the Spirit of God is falling upon the churches. I believe we're in the final breezes of the blowing of the Holy Ghost as He is refilling the church of the living God. People are looking for some great revival off somewhere. I'm not looking for it, friend. I believe we are standing in the middle of it right now here this morning. I was sitting there at my desk last night or the table, and I was reading these things. Amen. And I've seen that prophet say, amen, that we're going to pile them words up in you. And when the Spirit falls, you're going to prove what's inside you. I thought, oh, dear God. Amen. Here we are sitting in the middle of the anointing of Christ pouring out on the church, anointing them to move. Now think of this, because we see that we have not been raised up, amen, for another Sabbath. We have not been put here for another age. We have been put here for the blending into eternity. Think of it, friends. Amen, many families throughout the ages of the church, amen, down even in the Old Testament, believed in the Jubilee trumpet, and they moved from age to age to age with never freedom. Never having freedom, went back home the same shape they came into. But at the 50th year, they heard a sound that was not going back to another Sabbath. They were going back to their possessions. And to think, here we are living in a generation. We've changed ages, change ages, change ages. But there's a people on the earth today that we were not put here to change ages. We were not put here for that purpose. We were put here to catch the winds of the eagle anointing that would lift up a church, and under the winds of that eagle keep rising and rising until we pierce through the lands of the unbelief and the realms of darkness to break out into the light of God's eternal word. Do you see, we realize something here this morning. We are closing time. Amen. See, you are closing the time for mortal man. Brother Branham said two great things are happening here. The end of time and the end of history. We've had civilizations end. We've had kingdoms end. But we've never had the end of history. You are living in the ending of all history. Brother Branham said there's no reason for them to write another history book. There's going to be no one here to read it. Can you imagine that this generation, this people, is the people that are blending from time to eternity? People watching this happening today, they look upon this and they have such blocked minds from the things of God that they'll look upon it while scoffing and saying, nothing has changed since our fathers went to sleep. When the prophets saw it, they saw the change as geographical. They saw mountains rising, and amen, and straight places made, crooked places made straight. They've seen great changes taking place. When man looks at it, they only see a prophet wearing a little skin and eating some locusts, and they never see what God was saying when He said something. And neither have they seen it in this time. When the prophet of God said, but we are standing tonight upon the watching something come to pass. It's unfolding two great scenes. He said, one of them is the ending of history. The other is the ending of time. Many great men down through the ages have longed to see this hour approach. And as we live here, the glorious setting of a mortal sun and the breaking of eternal life. I do feel like we're living in one of the grandest ages that have ever been permitted to live. Because it's the closing of time. It's the blending of eternity. History only tells us what we read and what has been. What the future lays is in the hand of God. You see, someone is telling us by vision, we are at the end
but not the end. We are at the beginning. We are at the end of one thing and the beginning of something else. Sometimes you've got to get up high to see these things. Amen. And some of us were so bound in the world, bound in these things, in the traditions of man, we could not catch these things upon our own. That's why the prophet of God typed it unto the Emancipation Proclamation. He said, you see, something happened in government. That was a paper signed. He said the word went out that it was going to be, but the people were living down there in the depths of the fields and under their slave masters, and all they could do was hear that it was going to come and hear that it was going to happen. They had been so beat down that they could not see the coming light. He said, then God put a strong one among us. He said, and he clumb up to the top of that mountain. Is that all right? And down here, clumb up there. He clumb up to the top of that mountain. And when he got up there, up on top of that mountain, he got above all the taskmaster. He got above the fields. He got above the problems. He got above the teachings where he could see all the way to the horizontal realm. And when he seen that horizontal realm without blocking, what did he say? He said, the sun is up. And he said it loud enough that it echoed down the hill. The sun is up. The sun is up. And after a little while, about three times down that hill, amen, it just got a little momentum. Amen, the sun is up. The sun is up. Now what did that mean? That sound had a meaning. It meant that we have been in bondage. Amen. Since our birth, we have been in bondage since the beginning. But with this sound is coming the authority of a federal government that has the power to enforce their word. And here we have heard in this generation a prophet of God climb up out of denominational regions, and he's looked right into the realms of God, and he turned back into the age, and he said, look you all, the sun is up. And there it began to go down through the lines, and men of God, amen, that had broke out of the realms of their denomination. Come on, church. I believe in real men of God. I believe men like Brother Tim Pruitt, Brother Ron, Brother Donnie, Brother Wendell sitting here. Brother, these men heard this sound, but they didn't just hear a sound. They knew the meaning of that sound. So they turned back from their denominational understandings, and they turned from all their ideas, and they began to approach the people with an idea that we are free. We're not free because we're out of chains, because some of them are still in chains. We're not free because, amen, that the fields have not got anything in them. The fields still have things in them. We're not free because, amen, of our gene or who we were. But we're free because a declaration has come that we are free. And there was a prophet on the earth. Amen. When the mighty angel stood up and took the book, he made a declaration. These are my children and they are free. When I heard that sound, it changed the way I minister to the people. I've heard people talk to God's children like they were stepchildren. Amen. You better be careful when you approach the children of God. These are the precious blood-bought children of the Almighty God. And we must know that these people of God have been put here for the purpose of changing dimensions and reflecting the immortal God. Amen. Amen. To think today that we have been commissioned by the angel of the Lord through the message of the hour. You preach the word of God that these people are free. They are released of God, and they've been put here for the purpose of reflecting the coming of the Lord. To think this morning here, amen, that this is a mountaintop message, amen, that we have received in this generation. And I'll try to begin to close right in here. To think that in Revelation 4:1, John heard that voice. Amen, come up hither, John. I'm going to show you something while you're up here. Amen. You get in the spirit of this and there's something happens up there. There's things that you can see in there that you will come down and never be the same again. You will never be the same person catching the revelations of this word in this age. You see, what he was doing was he was seeing a door opened. Peter saw the same thing. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, Peter preaches the stature of a perfect man. And when he comes to the end of it, knowing the capstone was the finish of the ages, he comes to the end of it and said, an entrance has been ministered unto you into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How was that entrance coming? By the preaching of the Word of God would open a realm to the people that had not been formally entering into. The preaching of the Word today is the operation of a realm that is opening to the hearts of the children things that they could never come to without it. To think here, the prophet of God, he's telling us it has to be preached. The prophet goes into great things, great lengths in his life to tell these things. He says, you know, he says, when my wife and my daughter died, he said, they died because of a choice that I made. Brother, those are hard choices and harder saying. He said, there's a choice that I made, something that I decided. Now, we know that God had a great plan. We know God had a great reason for that prophet to be what he was. And God would not accept a no about who he was and what he was to do. So therefore, no matter what it took, he had to fulfill the office that God had made him to fulfill. He comes to that place, amen, that he's so depressed. Now, I doubt many of us has ever been here. We maybe thought we were. But he was so in such a realm of depression until he reaches up to get a hold of an electric line to kill himself. He says, I wake up on the ground. He said, I failed at it. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go home and I'll take care of it. He was an enforcer. He said, I had a little pistol sitting at the house. He said, I went in, I picked that pistol up, and he said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just take myself in here. And he said, I'll finish the job. Can you imagine? A prophet is in such a condition in his mind until he's dragged himself in a room under such darkness. Why was that darkness on him? It was death. The death of his daughter. The death of his wife. A darkness has settled upon him. And under that dark realm, he can't see nothing but that cloud. He goes over there and he picks that gun up. He says, I'm going to finish it. And he thinks that that would be the end. So he pulls the trigger and it won't go off. I've said this many times. If he wanted that trigger, that bullet to go off, he should have never prayed that prayer. Our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. It was not the will of God. He took that gun and threw it upon the ground. And Brother Bram said it went off in the room. Then he drifts into another realm. Now you can't forget, this is the man that's going to bring on the rapture by the speaking of a perfect word to move us from mortality to immortality. And he's moved into this realm now where he sees his daughter. This little 6-month-old girl is standing beside the road. She's grown now. She's talking to him. He starts going by her. She says, good morning, Daddy. He says, well, you're almost as old as I am. Why do you call me Daddy? Friend, I tell you what, I almost took a run in the room when I read this. He said, Daddy, she said, you just don't know where you are, do you? She said, up here, she said, there's no babies and there's no old people. She says, don't you remember your teaching on immortality? I thought, oh my, how did that 6-month-old baby know what he taught on immortality? See, it's only here people think Brother Branham come up with those ideas. But over there, they know what he was saying was true. Do you remember your teaching on immortality? Now watch this, because here now, this prophet is being absorbed with a thought. He's being something that's carried with him now. He's going to carry this through his entire ministry until years and years later, he's going to come down to a place again amen, that the blues is hitting, the middle age of life. He's a depressive type person. He goes through cycles of his life anyhow. There's something in his genetics, a strain he talks about every 7 years. He goes back into this thing. He begins to say, I'm just going to leave the field. I there's nothing I can do to help the people. And he begins to go into all this. And while he's laying in his bed, amen, he's got his hands behind his head. He said, I hear the sweetest voice I ever heard say, would you like to look beyond the curtain of time? And he said, as he said, yes, it would help me. And he said, all of a sudden now, he said, I'm translated. And I'm translated from this dimension to that one. He said, I'm took over there on the other side, and I'm looking back at my body, and it's only about 20 feet from where I am. Amen. To think that that dimension now is not a million miles away from us, but within 20 feet of his body laying on a bed, there were millions of believers. And there he went just beyond that dimension. Amen. Now, as he's standing there in that place, he said they all begin to come to him and they begin to say, amen. The angel says to him, these are your people, not all Branhams. These are your converts. He said, and with one voice they heard him say, remember that? Amen. Brother Branham, if you hadn't come, we wouldn't be here. If you hadn't come, we wouldn't be here. Amen. Now, you got to imagine the reality of that. If this message hadn't come, they wouldn't be there. And to think this morning that that same message is the one that you and I, amen, listen to in our cars. We sit in our homes and we study them and look at them. What is happening to us, church? Amen, word by word, line by line, we're being moved. We're being moved until finally this dimension loses its gravity upon our lives. What did that prophet of God do? There he caught the revelation. He caught the understanding of that other realm and come back. You remember he says, I could never be the same Brother Branham again, ever. And he comes back and he begins to preach. And he's preaching like nothing he's ever done. He's starting to tell the people about things he's never told them about. What's he doing? Here God has let a man go to the place of depression. Let him go to the realms of the darkest realms of human mind. He let him go to the furthest he could go. That was when he was standing next to his bed with Hope in the hospital and heard, amen, Hope was on the other side in that dimension. That's when he said her name, Hope, and she answers back from the other dimension. To think that the only hope he had was in another dimension. And out of that dimension she come and began to tell him, amen, it's not as bad as you think, Bill. You preached about it. You've talked about it. But you really don't understand what it really is. Amen. This is what you call the Holy Ghost. Remember that? Amen. But the only hope he could get had to come from that dimension. That's why when the prophet comes up so late in life, and amen, and his buddies, Demas leaves him, other people walking away from him, crowds are falling apart, his own mind, his nervousness, the things that are around him, amen, but then God takes him over there where Paul was able to see, but this one don't come back and say, I can't tell you about it. This one comes back and makes a tape and publishes it. Why? Because now it's not going to be a secret any longer. It's going to be an open channel. Unseal the book. Sound the alarm. Preach the word. It's time for the bride of Christ to catch the revelation. We are the bodies that's going to change from one dimension to another. You see, that word was coming out of there. No wonder a prophet of God. He said, do you see? Hey, man, I am closing here. Do you see this? Here is Elisha standing with the Syrian army coming. And Gehazi said, they're going to take us. Elisha said, no, there's more of us than there is of them. The prophet of God said, he did not bring them angels when Elisha said that. He only changed their scene. They were already there. He said, God, amen, is not bringing something here. It's already here. Heaven is more real than television. Angels are more real than television. Amen. And not before long, God has sent somebody here to tell us it will become more real and more real until after a while, the positive and will become more positive until the negative drops away from us and we step into that place. That's why that prophet could stand there and say a prophet of God was not born to go to sleep but change dimensions. And he could stand in a congregation just like this. And he began to change dimension. And he'd say, you've seen the picture of it. He said, you've seen the pillar of fire. You've seen the picture of it. And then by the grace of God, he could just change dimension. And he'll say, it's not 3 feet from your body. I was just reading this morning, he said to a lady, he said, I see the desires of your heart. God has heard your prayer. You're going to get that closer walk you're after. And there that woman sitting there, and she starts looking around her. Where did he get that from? How did that happen? Amen. A little girl sitting there, I'm just reading, a little girl sitting there in Brother Bram's meetings. He begins to, she's laying on a stretcher, actually, back. She's a young lady. Brother Bram begins to say, I see a young colored girl. He said, I see her going through a surgery. He said, I see a man taking out her tonsils. I see her completely paralyzed. Sister gets up and runs down to the front with her little baby and says, Brother Branham, it's us. It's me. Does that mean the girl can walk? He said, no. He said, no, sister. I'm just telling you what's wrong with the baby. He said, wait a minute. He said, I'm seeing, wait a minute. And he says, oh, I see it now. He said, I see her crossing a dark street, a ball rolling. She picks it up. Thus saith the Lord. She's going to walk. He said, do you mean my daughter can walk? He said, she can now. What separated it was a vision of a prophet and a word of inspiration. And now she can walk. You said, Brother Wayne, are you trying to say? I'm trying to say there was a time we could not walk like Enoch walked. But we can now. There has been a vision, an inspiration of a word come down, and we are reflecting that immortal one that is upon the earth now. Can you stand to your feet with us this morning? Friends, I believe that there has come an immortal word. Right here in this realm, we have become the horizontal realm between two dimensions. There has to be a place that you call between night and day where you see the sun come up on the sea and you look out there and that's the horizontal realm. And right there is where you see that sun rise. And there's a people today that's up on the face of the earth. And you can hear a prophet, I see the sun rising. Right here is where it's reflecting. Coming right through these lives. There's going to be a bride. I love the rest of that quote. There's going to be a rapture. And nothing can stop it. Can you imagine? Turn around and tell somebody, he's never wrong. He's never wrong. God bless you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed say so. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's never wrong. Amen. It cannot fail. Amen. We're here at the end time. We're fulfilling the prophecy. We're part of the vision. And it's never wrong. Hallelujah. What a word that we have received in this day and hour. What a hope. And this hope is not in this world. This hope comes from another dimension. It's a word that is changing us. It already started on the inside. Changed me from a sinner. Made me know I was the Son of God. Amen. And it'll change and quicken. Make alive this mortal body. How do I know? It's already turned heavenly. Amen. These hands that used to serve sin. These eyes that used to serve the devil. Amen. It's now been yielded to Almighty God. Another king sits on the throne. Amen. These members, this body now, has got a claim on it for the resurrection. We're not going to be left behind. We are under anointing. It's the anointing of a flying eagle. A people have been called to change dimension. We're not a bunch of sitting ducks. We're flying eagles. Amen. Set your wings, little eagles. Rise up into the heavens where all things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. What a word that we have received in this hour. An entrance has been ministered to you. Amen. Oh my, how wonderful the word of God is. How wonderful is His truth. All this little reflection. Just a little taste of heaven. Just to realize that we can come together for this little time as a family. The family of God. Have us fellowship one with another. We just want to say today, we so appreciate you coming and being with us. Those of you that have made the effort to come. You know, I would love to have this at home and in our home church and our home environment. But we just don't have the accommodations for it. I'd love to be able to, and I'm going to a camp meeting one day that I'm already registered for. And you know, there some don't get double A lodging and other A lodging and other B lodging and other, you know, there's no exclusions there. Everybody is all the same. I just wish it was so. We just had the biggest campground and we just bring them from all over the world and meet together. And we're going to that one. My Father has it arranged. Amen. My Father has it all arranged. And I'm giving you an invitation to be registered for that meeting, that great camp meeting. But being because that we're here, you know, if it was my home church, I wouldn't exclude nobody, and we don't exclude nobody. We just don't have the facilities and the accommodations that we can do it, and I'm so sorry for that. But you know, if I was at my home church, we'd have a meal together, and we didn't have enough, we'd run to every town in the county, and we'd just grab all the food we could everywhere and bring it in. Amen. And we just have a real time together. Problem is, we're here, and though we rent this campground, you know, we're still here on the and obligated to the camp and to their rules, and so it makes it a little bit difficult for us. And so we have to pre-register meals before the camp. And we try to make that online, you know, where that you can let us know how many meals can be done so they can have the food. They have to order it, buy the food
months ahead in order to get a good bulk price, and then they only cook for so many. And so we were sorry, you know, if you did not pre-register, we just cannot accommodate you. If you don't have means to go out and purchase food somewhere, please come see me. I don't want nobody to go hungry. We'll give you it right out of our pocket. I'd be glad to do that. I want to. I feel really hurt in my heart. You know, but, you know, like I said, the camp prepares food for a certain number, and that's why we asked you to pre-register. Next year, if you get to come, you know, and you would like to come and take, even if you can't stay on the campground with us, we try to make it where you can get a hotel nearby, and, you know, and then we can pre-register those that wants to take so many meals on the camp. And so I do apologize that we're not able to accommodate everybody. But I might want to just tell you, you know, you're welcome after you go out and eat to come back and fellowship. We can have you here on the campgrounds and for you to come and enjoy some time together in fellowship. So God bless you and forgive us. Forgive us if that's being inhospitable. But it's the best that we can do under circumstances. But I also want to mention somewhere around 3:30 this afternoon, if you ministers would like to gather again and have some fellowship. And again, I apologize to you in heaven. You know, when we get there, there won't be, you know, separate meetings for different ones and things like that. But, you know, Brother Branham said that, you know, farmers get together and they talk farms. They have something in common. And, you know, children get together and do things with one another and you know, they have something in common. And ministers have things in common that we talk about, amen, that is as important. And it's for your benefit. Amen. So, you know, if you'll just forgive us again for that. We don't mean to be a hierarchy and separate, but we're just, you know, just trying to fulfill the calling that God has placed upon us and to be the best that we can. And we love you. We appreciate you. Amen. There's no big ones, no little ones. We're all one in Christ. Amen. And so, you know, there's no big preachers, no little preachers. There's no big people, no little people. You know, I'm not even going to accept it. I'm not little. I'm big as the rest of you. I may have to stand on the platform to get there, but I'm there. Amen. But anyway, Brother Donnie has a right. He calls me little buddy. So, amen. So he's my big brother, and I look up to most of you. Amen. And you look down on me, but that's okay. On there. There won't be no looking up and looking down. Amen. God bless you. But anyway, we're going to pray over the meal and we're going to dismiss you. The service tonight is at 7 o'clock. And the services in the morning are at 10. And so we just remember that. The evening service, it should be easy. Revelation 10:7. All right. Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we bless your name. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for eternal words, words of life. Lord, we know, Father, these are more than just words. They are words with power. For they have changed us from darkness into life. I ask, Lord, your blessings upon us now as we go and as we partake of a meal, we go and refresh ourselves, those that are staying in the hotels, Lord, or whatever, may you be with them. Ever need supply, we pray. Bless the food for our body's nourishment, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. As you go in Jesus' name.